you have not enjoyed and participated in the last 20 minutes, I wonder if you would really enjoy heaven if you went there. What a wonderful and awesome God we have. What a wonderful opportunity we have to come together at any time, especially tonight, to honor and praise His name. And that's exactly what we've been doing. And I think when we understand the greatness of His name and our praise to Him, that it's going to affect us in so many ways. As we prepare ourselves to come to the assembly, and as we participate in the assembly itself, we have praised God through the reading of His Word. Those Psalms, which in a sense are prayer-type chapters in the Bible. And then in the singing, wonderful singing. I just can't imagine how anyone who would claim to love God and Christ would not be participating to his best in singing like that. And the prayer of praise to God. That's one of the reasons, in fact, I suppose that's the main reason that we come together in an assembly like this. But you know, there is another sense in which we can praise God, and that is that after we leave here tonight, we go out into the community and go to our jobs and to our homes and other activities in the community tomorrow and throughout the week, we can praise God by being Christ-like. We talk about wanting to be like Christ. And if you and I go out into the community and try to put into our lives the characteristics that we see taught in the Bible in the life of Christ, that very approach to life is, in a sense, a life of praise that we give to our Heavenly Father. Most of you know that we're in a series of lessons in which we're trying to look at what Jesus said and what Jesus did, particularly in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to turn to Matthew 15 and Mark 6. Matthew 15 and Mark 6. Now, I think you can turn to two passages at the same time. You've got 10 fingers. I promise I won't ask you to turn more than 10 at the same time. Matthew 15 and Mark 6. For just a few minutes tonight, I want you to concentrate on one word that is used by Jesus in his teachings. Those will be written in red. And used to describe Jesus at times when he was teaching, where the message may be written in red, but this word is present on those occasions. First, in Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. The word to which I have reference is the word compassion. I will have compassion on them. We have the story here in the 15th chapter of Matthew about the feeding of the 4,000. And one chapter earlier in the 14th chapter, we have the story of the feeding of the 5,000. In Mark, the 6th chapter, we also have the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And I want you to pick up with me in Mark 6 at verse 34. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. If you'll just glance on down at verse 37, you'll see that we're in the context where he says, written in red, give ye them to eat. Verse 38 asks the question, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. Now turn back to the 14th chapter of Matthew and verse 14. I want to read all three of these, one after the other, because they have to do with the same type of occasion, and yet there are at least three different points made in connection with the subject. Notice in the 14th verse of Matthew 14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And then a little bit further down in 16 and 17 and 18, you see that he's talking about the time that he fed the 5,000 on this occasion. Now, in connection with these two events, the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000, we have Jesus using the word compassion, are having the word compassion used by inspiration about him in three different ways. First, I want you to go with me back to Mark's account in the 6th chapter and verse 34. And I believe we see Jesus here showing compassion toward people who were misguided, who may have been somewhat ignorant. And I want to point out to you that when I use the word ignorant, I'm not using the word stupidity. I'm using the word ignorant in the sense of lack of knowledge or lack of information. And it says that Jesus had compassion toward these people because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them. The fact that he began to teach them suggests that there were some things that they did not know. And the fact that they were as sheep going about without a leader suggests that they were misguided in the direction in which they were going. When Jesus looked out and saw people who did not know the truth and saw people who were going in the wrong direction, his attitude toward them was compassion. He did not laugh at them. He did not talk about them. He did not joke about them, but he looked at them with compassion, and he began to do something about the needs of those people. I want you in the second place of these three passages to go back with me to Matthew 15. And there in verse 32, he is particularly talking about his compassion toward the people that were hungry. They were with him, and he says, "I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat." When he saw people who were lacking in the basic necessities of this life, he looked at them with compassion. They had been following him. They had evidently been going without food and fasting for some period of time. Jesus was concerned about them. He, of course, was first concerned about their spiritual needs, as we see sort of written all over these passages that we are observing. But he was also concerned about their physical needs. And I'm sure that running through your mind right now is what he said about the judgment scene in Matthew 25. Feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty and so on. You know the rest of the story. But it's interesting that when Jesus saw those who were hungry, that the Bible says he looked at them with compassion. And now back to the 14th chapter again in verse 14. And this is just before the time that they became hungry. But notice how compassion is used about Jesus in another way. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Now in these two basic stories that are given and the events surrounding them, the feeding of the 4,000, the feeding of the 5,000, we see Jesus showing compassion toward those who needed to be taught, those who were misguided. We see him showing compassion toward those who were hungry and had physical needs. And we see him showing compassion toward those who were sick. While we're on that point of showing compassion toward those who were sick, turn over to Matthew chapter 20. You won't have to turn many pages ahead if you're following with me. And there, look in verses 30 through 34, where Jesus talks to and has a relationship with two men that are blind. In verse 32, written in red, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" But look at verse 34. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. He was interested in the healing process. He could go about it in a way different from what you and I can, in a way that was quite different. He could simply touch their eyes and heal them. But I want you to see the point, that Jesus had compassion toward these two men who were blind, and he wanted to do something about healing them. Turn over to Mark, the first chapter, for just a moment in verse 41. And you will find Jesus here doing something for one who was a leper. If you let your eyes sort of go back to verse 40, there came a leper to him. But look at verse 41. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, a leper, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." We still have some today who suffer from the disease of leprosy. Perhaps in our day and time, those who suffer from the disease of AIDS might be comparable to the seriousness of this disease on this occasion. But even someone who was a leper, someone who had such a horrible disease, that was so bad that many times they were placed in a colony away from the normal runs of life and the people in general. But when Jesus saw this man that was a leper, he had compassion on him. Notice also in Mark the 5th chapter, verses 18 and 19, that Jesus had compassion toward those who were possessed with the devil. Verse 18 of Mark 5, came into the ship, and there were those who had possessed with the devil. Look at verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done to thee and hath had compassion on thee. We don't have those today who are possessed with devils in the same sense. But we do have those who have emotional problems and mental problems, which may be somewhat comparable in our relationship as this was at that time. Now, I want you to see, as you see all of this, that Jesus was concerned about the blind and their being healed. He was concerned about the dreaded disease of leprosy, and he reached out with compassion. And he was even concerned with the one who was possessed with the devil, whose mind and emotional state would definitely have been affected. Jesus was concerned, and he reached out with compassion. He had compassion toward those who were sick. But notice also that he had compassion toward those who were mistreated. I believe that when Jesus gave us the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, and you know this without even having to look, and he said in verse 33 that the Good Samaritan had compassion on the man who had fallen among thieves, that Jesus was also describing his own attitude, as well as the attitude that we ought to have toward those who are less fortunate. So many times today it seems that we're concerned in our country about the criminal and his rights, and many times we fail to be concerned about the victim and his rights. But notice who it is here that Jesus is especially emphasizing and showing his concern, and through the Good Samaritan showing his compassion. It's toward the victim. And as you and I look around about us and see those who are victimized and those who are hurt, whether it be in a criminal way or any way, in order to be like Jesus, we're going to have to be able to show compassion. But Jesus also could show compassion, according to Matthew 18, when there were financial difficulties and problems in everyday life. He gives the story of the steward who was forgiven so much in verse 27, and then goes on down about this same steward who would not forgive his fellow steward who owed him only a few pence. I think sort of in terms of today, we might say that here's a man who owed $1 million and he was forgiven, but he had somebody who owed him just a few cents or a few dollars, he wouldn't forgive it. Jesus condemned that man for not being willing to forgive in this story. And if you're reading in a Bible, you'll notice that almost all of this chapter is in red. But look at verse 27. The Lord of the servant, this is the first servant who owed so much, was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. But down at verse 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Jesus is showing through this story that he had compassion toward those who had problems in their everyday life, meeting their needs and maybe having some difficulties in meeting those needs. He looked at them with compassion, but also in time of death. Look this time to Luke the 7th chapter. We have the widow of Nain there, the woman who had just had the one son. If you pick up at about verse 11, we find Jesus seeing this woman, and she was a widow. Her only son had died. Look at verse 13. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, here are his words in red, weep not. That's the same one who wept at the tomb of Lazarus and who took the time to go by and see Mary and Martha before he went to the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus was one who had compassion on those who were bereaved and those who were hurting because of the loss of a loved one. But also it's important for us to go back to Matthew chapter 9 and see his compassion in a little bit different way. Now, so far we have seen him show compassion on those who were misguided, those who were hungry, those who were sick, including the blind, the leper, those who may have had emotional problems. We've seen him concerned about the victims, We've seen him concerned about those who have difficulty in everyday life. We've seen him showing compassion even at death. But I want you to look at the last three verses of Matthew 9. Let's look first at verses 37 and 38, written in red. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Why did Jesus feel that way? The answer is in verse 36. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And here it seems particularly that they're having no shepherd is in a spiritual sense, because he says we've got to go out and bring them in. We need laborers to go out and bring them in. Jesus was compassionate toward the lost. Never would he have said, if he wants to know the truth, let him come. Never would he have said, we have services so many times a week, and give them an opportunity. But he had compassion on the lost. And he said, let's go out there and teach them and get them. And not only for those who had not become Christians, but in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, where we identify the father there with God the Father, and in that connection with Christ himself, I want you to look at verse 20. When the son came home, his father arose when he was a great way off, and he saw him, and he had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Jesus had compassion for the alien sinner that's lost, and he had compassion for the erring Christian that needed to come back home. Now, folks, if we want to be like Jesus, we're going to have to learn to hurt with others and share with others who are hurting. Whether it's difficulties in everyday life, whether it's illness, death, or whether it's in the spiritual sense of those who are lost or those who are misguided and need to come back, that one of the best ways for us to praise God is to live like Christ. And one of the best ways for us to live like Christ is to show compassion. I want you to think about that through the next 6 days or 7 days. And think about how you can be like Christ. Jesus was a compassionate person. You and I need to learn to be more compassionate in our association with one another. But how in the world are you going to live for Christ if you're not in Christ? How are you going to give him the credit for what you do this week if you're not a Christian? He was compassionate toward those who were lost and had not become Christians. If you're not a Christian tonight, he's compassionate to you. He's saying to us tonight, go forth as laborers and bring them in. And that's why we extend the invitation. We want you to come to Christ. He was compassionate through the Father of Luke 15 to those who'd gone astray but turned around and came back home. He was wanting them to come back and be forgiven. He didn't want them to stay out there. He was compassionate. He had a feeling of concern and interest in these folks. And he has that same kind of interest in you. If you're not a Christian, you need to listen to the compassionate Savior and come as together we stand and sing.
Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood?